Hey, this is Mark Tremonti from Tremonti, and you're tuned into Focus on Metal.
Hey, Metalheads, Scott Thompson here, welcoming you to another episode of Focus on Metal. That's right, as promised, after a quick two-week break, we are back in action. Can't really call it a full two-week break, because within there, I got a whole bunch of different interviews scheduled, including our main guest this week, Mark Tremonti from Alter Bridge and Tremonti, but a few other very cool interviews we managed to fit in there as well. So keep it tuned right here to Focus on Metal. More great stuff on the way. So we return this week with a pretty solid show. As I mentioned, Mark Tremonti, great guest this week. Mark just put out his second solo release, Cauterize, and we got a quick phone call with him talking all about what's going on with Tremonti, what's going on with Alter Bridge, and some future album plans as well. So good stuff there. Hope you enjoy our talk we had with Mark Tremonti. Also this week, a few weeks ago, I was able to talk to Scott Leach from the band Crystal Ball. And very recently, Crystal Ball put out their new release called Life Rider. And Scott Leach, their guitar player, was very gracious about wanting to come on the show and talk all about what's going on with Crystal Ball and the new release, tour plans, all that good usual stuff we talk about. So two great guests this week, Mark Tremonti and Scott Leach from Crystal Ball. But before we get into all of that good stuff, I want to mention a few things. Of course, first of all, thank you for all the Focus on Metal listeners that helped out with A Sound of Thunder's Kickstarter project. I know A Sound of Thunder is very appreciative of all the fan support they get from the Focus on Metal listeners. So again, I thank you for helping to support a great band. Also, I want to steer your attention to a great new website. My friend Victor from Mars Attacks Podcast has set up a brand new website. It's called earpeeler.com. So again, earpeeler.com. And many moons ago, you know, Focus on Metal was in this whole network called the Cast Iron Ring with a bunch of other great rock and metal podcasts. And that dissolved a while back. But of course, Victor was part of that as well. And Victor's kind of almost revived that, but in a little bit of a new or different way. And that, so what he's done on Ear Peeler is that he has just a whole bunch of great podcasts that all feed into his site. And so it's, you know, it's some of the newer stuff, as well as, you know, long-standing veteran podcasts like the Classic Metal Show with Chris and Neely and the Rock and Roll Geek Show with the one and only Michael Butler. So some of those, as well as some other mainstream stuff, you know, interview podcasts coming in and new stuff. And of course, our buddy Brian from the Double Stop, they carry the Double Stop on there. So if you want to, you know, you're looking for either a new podcast experience, you want to know what else is out there, or just keep up on favorites, head over to earpeeler.com and you can see all the latest feeds from podcasts going up there. Really great idea from Victor. And I'm not just saying this because, you know, it's a good idea, but also Victor's a really cool guy. He's had some great shows on as well. And just, you know, want to keep that support going for the whole rock and metal podcast community. So again, you want to get your fill of rock and metal podcast, definitely head up to earpeeler.com. Heck, it's even got stuff feeding in there from my buddy Shiaki with the Metal Moment podcast. Like I said, just great, great stuff up there. And while I'm throwing shout outs left and right here, I also just want to remind you guys, you can also go up to decibelgeek.com and you can see, of course, what Chris and Aaron are up to at the Decibel Geek Show. Always great stuff. But also, you can click over to their friends page and there's a listing of a whole bunch of podcasts there. You know, rock and metal podcast, and some of them are actually really good friends of ours. So another great site to visit as well if you're looking to find out some new shows to listen to. All right, and speaking of support, let's support some of the smaller artists before we dive into the bigger artists. Let's roll ourselves a track of the week. Track of the week this week comes to us via a bunch of crazy guys out of Pennsylvania. The name of the band is called On Top, and they just did their digital release of their brand new EP called Topless that came out on July 9th on Toil Records. And they still have yet to announce a release date for the CD version of it. However, like I said, hey, they got a digital release out there, and it's just kind of a fun, kind of hard rock, heavy metal type of deal. This one comes on the heels of their 2014 EP called Top to Bottom. That one was on HPGD Productions. And so these guys, they're kind of really locked into the whole EP thing. So the EP we're talking about here has got four tracks on it. So, hey, normal track kind of stuff. The whole deal was actually mixed and mastered by Chris the Wizard Collier. And you may know Chris Collier as the guy who did work on the KXM release. Great release there, as well as work he has done for Lynch Mob. Speaking of Lynch Mob, have you noticed how hard it is to get the damn new CD there, Rebel? It's like every time they get it in anywhere, it sells out instantly. I mean, good news for George. It shows he's back in form with that release, but it is. It's a bitch to get a hold of. I hope that Frontiers corrects that one. Anyways, back to the band that we're talking about here. Again, the name of the band is called On Top, and you can get a hold of them on Facebook at facebook.com/ontoprocks. They can also be found on YouTube at youtube.com/ontoprock. And as I mentioned, this was put out by Toil Records, and you can reach them at toilnc.com. So from the new On Top EP called Topless, this track is called Lie to Me. A little dose of On Top for you here. And as I mentioned before, you can hook up with them on Facebook, facebook.com/ontoprocks. And of course, you can head over to Toil Records. That's Toil, I-N-C, Toil Inc. .com. They call themselves the Indie Music Revolution, and they support a lot of indie artists from the Philadelphia and Pennsylvania area. So do yourself a favor, check them out, and let's support some indie music. So with that, flip the other way to more back to the commercial spectrum. And our first guest this week, that is the hardest working guy in rock and metal, I think, currently. The one and only Mark Tremonti came up in everybody's visibility with the band Cree. But of course, after that, he went on to Alter Bridge with Miles Kennedy. Great band there. Huge, huge in Europe. And of course, here in the U.S., he's still releasing solo albums. Just put out his second solo album. It is called Cauterize. Absolutely fantastic album. For those of you that aren't really familiar with Mark and think, oh, he's just that guy from Creed, Mark is definitely a dyed-in-the-wool devout metalhead. The guy grew up on metal. He knows his metal inside and out. And definitely when you hear his solo releases, you can hear the metal coming through. And, you know, I don't know. I don't even know if I can really call it to be a solo release, because really it's a band. Tremonti's a band. Hey, it's got Mark's last name on it. But, you know, even though we call it a solo release, it's really, it's a band. So it isn't like Mark with 18 million different guests or whatever. it's basically the same guys from album to album. Of course, this album, one little difference, bass players changed up, and that we have Wolfgang Van Halen playing bass. But again, he's not like this guy who's come in to guest on Cauterize. He is definitely part of the band, and Mark is pretty solid about saying that. So we sat down with Mark about a week and a half ago, had a great discussion, and rather than me sitting here talking anymore, why don't we let Mark do the talking? Guys, got a great guest on the show this week, the one and only Mark Tremonti. You might know him from that band called Creed. Of course, we all like to know him from Alter Bridge, and of course, from a couple of great solo outings, including his latest one, Cauterize. How are we doing today, Mark?
Doing great. How about yourself?
Awesome. I got to tell you, love the new one. It comes in like just all blazes, and you just get reminded that deep in the heart that Mark Tremonti is definitely a metal guy.
Absolutely, man. That's what I grew up on.
Definitely shows on the album. And the other thing I like about it, though, is that, you know, it's balancing that heaviness along with the catchiness of it as well. And, you know, walking away and keep getting the chorus for Cauterize, just like it gets in your head, it won't get out. And I just really love the fact that you're adding a lot of the melody back into there as well. I mean, just really good stuff.
Thank you very much. Yeah, no, to me, the most important part of any song. So it's that's the challenge, is to make the songs heavy, but keep that melodic content in there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And I like the fact that over the last 2 years, a lot of artists we've talked to is that people are realizing that, you know, down tuning down to C or, you know, even lower and blasting everything doesn't necessarily make everything heavy or sound better. And it's nice to have, you know, artists like yourself and a lot of the other ones we've had on the show lately that are realizing that things like mids and things are important and melodies are important. So it's great when you get an album out that's from a mainstream guy like yourself to really show people that you can have good catchy songs and be heavy.
Well, I appreciate it. That's the song is the most important. The melody is very important, and just being able to sing back, you know, sing that back is important.
That's right, yeah. So of course, you know, you're a PRS guy, and I'm a massive gear whore, and so I picked up one of the new anniversary editions of the PRS. Did you get yourself one as well?
No, I'm going to have to put that on my question.
See, I know, because you're a fellow gear guy as well, so I figured you might have already gotten one out of Paul already, but yeah, great guitar.
No, I actually just went up to PRS a few weeks ago because I'm designing some new stuff with them that I'm really excited about.
Nice. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, so Mark, was this record easier or harder to write than the first one? Because you hear a lot of bands say that the second album is normally a lot harder to do.
No, I mean, every record seems, you know, I'm always writing and staying ahead of the game. And you know, when it comes time to putting together a record, it's just a matter of organizing everything that's already been done. So it's... The only reason why this record would have been harder is because we did two records at once. You know, we did 20 songs. So we just spent about four times the amount of time beforehand preparing for pre-production.
Okay.
Going after it.
Yeah, so you're obviously a pretty prolific writer. Do you have like a bank of riffs or a bank of songs you always go back to, or do you just write new stuff for every release?
I'm constantly writing, and then I'll go back and I'll organize stuff. Sometimes weeks later, I'll organize what I had written, and it's just, for me, it's a matter of making sure that everything is organized in the right way. So if I'm looking for a part, I can find it quick enough.
Nice. Yeah, I know. I'm horrible about that. You know, I figure, oh, this riff is so great, I'll never forget it. And like 2 hours later, I'm like, damn, I totally forget how to play this. I should have just taken the iPhone out and recorded it or whatever. And I botch it so many times.
You got to do it immediately.
Yeah, I know. Sometime I'll get that discipline. But, you know, one thing about this album that kind of piqued my interest was, you know, the fact that you had Wolfie on it. Did that kind of lend a different vibe to you, that to know that you had the younger Van Halen on the album? I know you've been friends with Eddie for a long time, but did it kind of make you second guess any of the songs at all, or you just continue on the way you were doing it?
No, I mean, as a writer, I just continue doing what I've always done. It's just, you know, you've got a new member putting his new parts over. You know, I'm a writer, but I don't tell all the guys in my band exactly what to do. You know, Garrett does what he does on drums. Garrett does what he does on guitar. Wolfgang does what he does on bass, according to the parts I write. So, you know, some bass players are very simple. Wolfgang's much more of a great technician. He's super tight. He's him and Garrett are real syncopated on the album. And live, it's airtight too. So it's good to have somebody that's just so, you know, dead on with every note he hits.
Yeah, and I like the fact that, you know, people actually are getting to hear Wolfie you know, outside of Van Halen as well, and you know, maybe be able to put his stamp on things a little bit more and be more of his own person than under the shadow of his father. So it's really cool that, you know, to let people hear him on your album.
Yeah, you know, and people have to realize that how good of a player he is. You know, he's not playing in Van Halen just because he's got the last name. He deserves, you know, to be playing with that caliber of musician.
Yeah, I just remember, you know, when he first was with Van Halen, and people just kind of really were deriding him all the time, and just for kind of what you just said, you know, oh, he's Eddie's son, that's why he's there, and all this, and never really listened to him whether or not he could play or not. And I'm not even sure if you know, A Different Kind of Truth was a really good representation of everything that he can do, but definitely your album is really nice in being able to showcase what he can do on bass.
Yeah, I mean, I would challenge any bass player in the world to try and top Wolfgang Still, but I don't see that happening.
Yeah, now, Mark, one of the first things I notice about the two records that jumps out at me, I know it's heavier than Alter Bridge, but how good a singer you actually are. And a lot of people probably didn't know that. Before you got Miles in Alter Bridge, did you actually consider singing in the band?
Well, I've been a songwriter since I was about 11 years old, so I've been singing all along. I just never felt like I had the voice to really... I wanted the ideas that I was writing to reach the full potential. I didn't feel like my voice could do that, and then... When I was doing the demos for the first Alter Bridge record, I was singing on them, but I still wasn't quite there. So I wanted to find the world's best singer to get in the band with, and Miles was the guy for me. When it came down to having some free time and having all these song ideas just adding up and piling up, I thought it'd be best to do a solo project where I actually sang and I enjoy singing.
Yeah, so do you get more nervous when you release a Tremonti record than an Alter Bridge album because it's got, like, your name on the cover?
Yeah, I always get really excited, you know.
Okay.
It's an exciting process, and I'm excited to get the next record out. I think the nerves happen when you get together and you're hoping that you can outdo your previous album, but once you get that thing done and then the mixing process and you realize that you've improved on what you've done in the past, and it's just a matter of not being able to wait till it comes out.
Yeah,
right. So obviously you've got a tour coming up. I think it starts in September, correct?
Yeah, September 9th.
Okay. I've always thought of you as a live guy, and so you guys must be super psyched to be able to get out there and play this stuff, because I listen to it, and it really does have that thing that lends itself to be something that's going to be even greater live.
Yeah, I mean, when we write songs, we always think about the end game, think about how it's going to come across live, and we made the album energetic and heavy, so the live set would be that much more exciting.
Yeah, now of course you've got these two albums behind you. Are you going to stick to straight Tremonti material on the tour, or are you going to maybe throw in, you know, some Alter Bridge or a cover or two? Or
no, we've always only played Tremonti songs. You know, when we started Alter Bridge, people asked the same question: are we going to play Creed songs? And we always kept it Alter Bridge. Hmm. We did some cover songs along the way with Alter Bridge, but with Tremonti, you know, we discussed doing some covers on the first album, but I guess we were just too lazy to practice new cover songs. we just never got around to it.
Was it too lazy, or were you too busy playing pinball?
Both.
So, Mark, is it difficult now because you and Miles are really busy to stay grounded, like, because you're on the road constantly, like, you know, you hear stories about people when they come off the road and it's difficult to adjust and all that. Like, your life is, like, pretty hectic now between recording because and touring because you're doing Alterbridge, and the minute you finish Alterbridge, you're doing Tremonti. Like, do you have any free time at all, and how do you relax?
Yeah, well, this year was really nice because we recorded it here in Orlando, and actually the last few years have been pretty slow as far as being on tour, because with the Alterbridge album, we didn't really tour Fortress as much as we had toured previous albums. Elvis, our producer, he moved here to Orlando, so he lives about 15 minutes from the house. So when I'm recording, I can go there in the morning and come home for dinner with the kids, and it's like not being at work at all. So
yeah, yeah.
You know, we've had a couple good years, but next year is going to be a little hectic. We got to go from recording an Alterbridge record to doing a Tremonti tour to starting an Alterbridge tour.
Yeah,
back to back.
Yeah, one question I have about the last Alterbridge record is it's some of the songs on it sound like riffs that were on the Tremonti album. Did you had to sneak those in, or do you still know that, like, these are mine, they're on the Tremonti album, or do you just bring them to Alterbridge and say, and they'll either say yes or no, or how does that work?
I mean, a lot of the tunes that end up on either records are the ones that didn't really fly with the other guys in the band. You know, with the first Tremonti record, a lot of those riffs and parts and choruses I had thrown by the guys, and you know, once you've thrown it at the guys about four or five times, it's time to move on, and if you still like it, turn it into your own thing. So
yeah,
about half that first record was stuff that I just loved over the years. It might have been too you know, if you got horse gallops and a bunch of down picking and fast kind of speed metal approach to it, the guys just never really dug that kind of thing. They like the groovier, heavier, groovy riff stuff. How we approach Alterbridge.
All right. Have any of the guys in Alterbridge ever said to you after you've released a track, an album, damn, why didn't you give that track to us?
No, because they've heard, you know, they've probably heard most of it along the way.
All right.
On tour with Alterbridge, I'm writing the next Tremonti record, and when I'm on tour with Tremonti, I'm writing the next Alterbridge record, so everybody gets to hear stuff.
Excellent, excellent. So I'm curious to hear your answer to this question, Mark. Now, You were in Creed, like, and you were huge in the States, and you weren't as big in Europe. Now, I'm from Ireland, so I'm a European guy, and yet Alterbridge seemed to be far bigger in Europe than in the States. Do you have any inclination as to why?
I think two main reasons. I think the fact that Creed was so big here, we'd constantly be trying to outrun that Creed shadow, and have it was tough for people to give us a fair shake. And we couldn't really start as a new band. We were always considered the guys from Creed. I think in the last couple of records, we kind of shipped that, and now we're growing here in the States, and people don't really point to the Creed stuff as much anymore.
Yeah.
But and another reason, I think Europeans appreciate the big guitar solos and the tenor vocalists much more than in the States.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, I have to say that, you know, I like the fact that as you've been going along that you've, you know, distanced yourself back from the past legacy and you stand on what you're doing today. And I really have a lot of respect for that and for what you've done in Alterbridge and what you're doing in your solo stuff, where there's so many people that would be treading back on their past glories and stuff. But you've done it in a really cool and honest way.
Awesome. Thanks so much, man. It's always looking forward, never looking back.
There we go. Absolutely.
Oh, but I'm afraid that I'm
course, you have after Tremonti, do you start writing for the next Alterbridge record?
Yeah, I mean, I'm working right now.
Okay.
Plan is to tour through the end of the year with Tremonti and then get into the studio in the first 3 months of the year to record an Alterbridge record. Then it takes about 3 or 4 months to set up a record. So while we're doing that, me and Miles will both go on tour doing our own separate things, and then we'll get back together for the big Alterbridge tour probably sometime in the fall.
Yeah, I'd say the last thing you want to hear now is that Slash is writing new material.
You know what? I think between all of us, we're gonna oversaturate the market. I think between my two new records, Slash's new record, maybe a Miles solo album. You got the projected stuff with Scott Phillips and, you know, John Connolly from Seven Dust and Eric from my solo band. There's gonna be a lot of songs out there from this little group of people.
I think that's great, Mark, because, like, I love Alterbridge. I think your solo stuff's fantastic, so I don't care where it comes from, to be honest.
Nice, well, thank you.
Awesome. So as far as people listening and you know, you go on the web and there's so many different places you can go to find out information, we always like to get it from the artists themselves. Where would you recommend that if people want to find out, you know, what's going on with either the tour or with releases or whatever, where would you want them to head to?
Well, if they want to personally talk with me, I'm on Twitter. I always do all my posts on Twitter. I'm trying to respond to as many people as I can. And then you can also go to fret12.com, which is kind of our hub, our management record label hub with all the new information. And I should know this, but I believe there's probably a Tremonti.com with all the information as well. I stick to Twitter and let the other guys deal with all that other stuff. But Fret 12 and Twitter are probably the best two places for all new information.
Awesome.
Awesome. Good. You know, as far as gear-wise, Mark, are you using any of the PRS amps as well?
Well, I'm actually designing a signature amp right now.
Oh, you're killing me.
Yeah, I mean, it's killer. I mean, I went up, like I said, a few weeks ago, and I've been putting off doing a signature amp for years and years and years because I know I'm not a one-amp guy at all. I need to have multiple amps. I'm an amp fanatic.
Mm.
And I don't want to design an amp that a year later I see something else and I want to use it instead. So I had one of those light bulb moments when I started seeing how much kids and adults are buying these low wattage 15 watt amps. So I decided, you know what, I'll just design one of those more affordable, small, you know, 7 watt that you double up to 15 watt amp. But it sounds huge. The thing is amazing. It sounds like my rig just turned down a little bit.
Awesome. Yeah. And you're right. I mean, that's a great market to be in. I literally just bought a little Vox 10 amp as well, even though, you know, I've got stacks and everything, but you just can't beat getting one of those little ones, even just for messing around recording and stuff. So I think yours is probably definitely going to make my list of amps to check out.
Oh, it's amazing, man. I'm really excited about it.
Nice. All right. Well, Mark, we appreciate you being able to take a little bit of time to talk to us today. And, you know, hopefully we'll see you out on tour. I think you roll through here, what, Richie, the 19th?
Yeah, 19th of next month.
Yeah. So maybe we'll see you on the 19th.
Say hello.
Yep, we'll
do.
Absolutely. Love to.
All right.
Thanks so much.
All right, Mark. Have a good one, man.
Have a good day. All right.
Bye, guys. You too. Bye-bye.
All right, that is our chat with Mark Tremonti. And as he mentioned, he is going on tour this month. He kicks it off on September 9th at the Culture Room in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And it's just rolling all through the East Coast. You know, he hits up by us on the 19th up at the Hampton Beach Casino Ballroom. But he's also playing in Hartford and a couple other places around here. That tour keeps going right up until October 24th. Sets him back down in Jacksonville Beach, Florida at Freebird Live. So very, very extensive tour that Tremonti has going on. Like I said, kicks off on September 9th. You can head up to bandsintown.com, search for Tremonti, get all the dates there. You can also hook up for tickets. And of course, as Mark mentioned, you can also go to fret12.com. And I should note, you know, it's a pretty cool site, Fret 12. It actually was founded by Mark's brother, Daniel. And, you know, he says it's basically got two goals: to develop the artist's independent brand and products to support a sustainable lifelong career as a guitar player, and to also engage with those who are eager to learn and share in the artist's knowledge and techniques. Every artist has a responsibility to keep their craft alive by encouraging others and transferring knowledge. So it isn't just Mark that's involved with Fret 12. It's actually a ton of guitarists that are involved with Fret 12, you know, besides Miles Kennedy and Jim Root and Clint Lowry from Seven Dust. Zach Wild is involved with Fret 12. Paul Allender, you might know him from Cradle of Filth. Michael Angelo Badio. And just there's just a ton of guitar players that are involved in Fret 12. So really cool site. So I would encourage you to also to go up to fret12.com and, like I said, look on Mark's page, but also look at all the other guitarists that are out there as well. And tour dates, updates, Mark's store is up there. Other guys' stuff is up there. Very cool site, you know, for me as a guitar player, just a cool place that you want to check out.
Hi, this is Scott from Crystal Ball, and you're listening to Focus on Metal.
That's right. We move on to our next guest this week. That is Scott Leach from the band Crystal Ball. And I got to say, I was really happy with how the whole audio quality of this one turned out. Every so often I get this Skype interview and just, I don't know what it is, but sometimes it just turned out really, really good. And I was really happy about the quality of this one. Just a little audio geekery there. The other thing, too, that usually it's the birds here are making all kinds of noise. This time, it was the birds on Scott's end that were making the noise, too. So a little irony there. But anyways, again, Crystal Ball, they just put out their latest album. It's their eighth album from the Swiss melodic metal gods, Crystal Ball. This thing came out in the U.S. on June 23rd, and it's also been out in Europe for a little while. Came out via Massacre Records. So Crystal Ball as a band has been around for a while. They started off in 1995. I'm not going to tell you what they were called in 1995. Scott mentions it in the interview. I think you'll be find that a little bit funny. But then in 99, they put out the album In the Beginning, and at that point, they changed their name to Crystal Ball. And so that one there, I guess that was a very successful album for them at that point in time. They followed that up with an album called Hard Impact. And that one there got a lot of good press in the magazines as well. And from there, they just kept on going on releasing albums. They went on tour with UDO, and they did stuff with Dokken and Doro and Crocus. And also through all this, they've pretty much been working exclusively with Stefan Kaufman, of course, from, you know, him from Accept. And so he's done a lot of work with these guys. And they'd been with AFM Records for a while back in 2007. They put out their album Secrets. That was their sixth album. And from there, they just kind of went off the radar for a long time. But in 2013, they came back with the album Dawnbreaker. And on that album, the original members, Scott Leach, that we're talking to today, as well as Marcel Sardella, they reformed Crystal Ball and they brought in some great new blood into the band. And after, you know, the release of Dawnbreaker, these guys, they tore their asses off with Crocus and with the Poodles, and they just went all out. So that brings us up to 2015, and they have put out their eighth album. It's called Life Rider. As I said, it's on Massacre Records. And again, it's just more of that great European melodic metal. So I did this interview probably about 6 to 8 weeks ago, and I really hadn't found the right show to put it into yet, or, you know, just it got shoved aside. It just didn't fit with some of the stuff we were doing. And, you know, Tremonti does really good about putting like a lot of melodicism into his songs, but also keeping it heavy. And I thought this might be a really good fit to do Tremonti and do Crystal Ball in the same show. So that's how come this one came to be, and I'm running it this week. So I've got a great talk with Scott Leach of Crystal Ball, along with some great samples off of Life Rider. Hope you guys enjoy it. And so with that, why don't we get right into my interview with Scott Leach. Got a great artist to talk about this week. That is the band Crystal Ball. They came back after a little bit of a hiatus in 2007. They came back in 2013 with the album Dawnbreaker, and now they are coming out with their brand new one. It's called Life Rider, and I am on the phone with guitarist extraordinaire Scott Leach. How are we doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Scott. Nice to be on the show.
Great to have you, and, you know, really great album, too. It's just, I mean, everything, right from the cover, right to the music. As soon as you kick it off, you just instantly get sucked right into it. It's just really good stuff, and it's amazing that, you know, you had this much of more like awesome songs only within a 2-year gap. So how long did it take to when you really started writing this album?
It took actually about 4 months to write it. We started in August 14 and we started recording in the middle of December. So more about four months to write it.
Wow.
And we had that a little of a time pressure because we scheduled the studio, we scheduled the release date of the album. And so I just had to write in the songs in that time. But it worked out well.
Awesome, awesome. And you know, I think about it, all the songs and how great they sound and the parts and the complexity to it. And I think, wow, 4 months, that's actually pretty damn fast. I mean, you guys must have just been like pedal to the metal getting this thing done.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. The good thing about it is I had time all day. Usually, you know, I would work and do it at night or somehow, but in this period of time I could focus completely on the music, so this made it possible to write it in that short period of time.
Awesome. And of course you had Stefan Kaufman doing a lot of the work, producing and mixing and all of that, and you know, I couldn't separate the sound that Stefan usually gets from there. So I'm listening to it and I keep thinking, wow, that sounds like a lot of Stefan influence in there. Now, did he have a lot of influence on the album and the sound, or am I just kind of imagining it?
Well, he certainly has had some influences on it sound-wise, and also like he would, you know, give in his ideas. I mean, maybe not the songs, not the chords, but maybe on some lead guitars he would have, you know, some suggestions. He played actually that acoustic intro on the song Memoron is played by him himself. So you can hear him there, and he sings some background vocals on the song Gods of Rock as well. But he certainly, I cannot say how much percentage, maybe like 10 or 15%, you know, of his own experience. And he certainly puts his stamp on it too, which is fine for us because we're all great fans of accepting UDO as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, you talk about him doing the backing vocals on Gods of Rock, and that is one of my favorite tracks on the album as well, is that
one. Oh, really?
One there.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
It just kicks right in, and it's almost relentless, and it's just like a really great upbeat good song to listen to, and one of my favorite tracks on the album.
Oh, great, thank you.
Of course, you also had another guest. You had the fantastic vocalist from Battle Beast, and I just picked up their latest one as well. And I mean, that girl can sing, and it was great to hear her, you know, on two tracks on this one, right?
That's correct. Well, the song Eye to Eye is a complete duet, and on the song Mayday, she just contributed some background vocals. Actually, it's just one word, Mayday, but she did great. She's really talented, awesome singer. also really nice person and easy to work with. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, I was looking forward to listening to Eye to Eye and hearing that and see how her voice is going against Stephen, and they really match pretty well on that as well. It was pretty cool to listen to.
Yeah, I think so too. We didn't know that, of course, in advance, but it was really great to how it worked out so easily. You know, she came into the studio, and like 1.5 hours later, it was all done. You know, we couldn't believe it ourselves.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's pretty quick. Yeah, it's always great when you hear like a duet like that, and the voices just fit so well together. And that one definitely was like that as well. And just absolutely good stuff. Now, was it a lot easier writing, you know, this new album with essentially the new lineup of guys? Or, you know, were you kind of in a groove at this point? It went a lot easier?
I think so, yes, because I knew how, you know, who's going to be in the band, how they work, how they sound, of course, especially Stephen as a vocalist. When I wrote Dawnbreaker, this was half of the song were not... We're finished, but we didn't know who's going to sing it. So,
yeah,
you know, it was a different story. Now we had some live experience as a band with this lineup. So, it made it easier. I somehow had a vision how this is going to be, you know, how this should sound. And we could all focus on that sound, on that idea with the new songs.
Yeah, because it's really interesting that, you know, the fact that the two original guys are you and Marcel, so it's like guitars and drum, so it's like a change up in the rhythm section, plus it's a change up in the melodic section of the band as well, and the fact that it came together so well, I mean, I think you guys really picked some excellent people that fit right into the band, and the results are fantastic.
Thank you. Yes, well, it's really a great lineup now, and it's also really important that it works, you know, not only musically, but like on a personal level, because you spend so much time with the band in that project, so it needs to be fun. You need people who you love actually, and you enjoy working with, and this is absolutely the case with this lineup now.
Yeah, and so I know that you you did some touring with Crocus, you did some stuff with the Poodles. Do you have some other concert stuff coming up soon? You know, any festivals or anything coming up?
Yeah, right. We're going to play a couple of festivals, mainly in Switzerland. For example, two shows together with Rockers from the Scorpions. Of course, that's an awesome gig for us. Going to be a huge crowd. And another show with Thunder. Oh. Also one of my favorite bands. And we'll certainly have more shows in autumn, or as in fall, you probably say, in the US. And but that's not clear with who. So we're looking for a tour right now, maybe a support tour. We don't know with whom it's going to be. So I'm sure there will be more dates coming up. So please, the guys who are interested, just check our website for the latest dates that will be out in, you know, maybe for November or October, maybe even earlier.
Yeah, awesome. So, and for you guys interested in keeping up on those dates, it's crystal-ball-ch.
Yes, that's right.
Awesome. And, because I'm looking forward to, you know, even someone does a little YouTube video, you guys live, because I'm dying to hear Antidote, Mayday, and Gods of Rock live. I just imagine those. They just already sound so live, but to hear you guys do it live would be amazing.
Yeah, well, Antidote, I don't know if you're going to play that one, but for sure we're playing Mayday, that's for sure.
It's a great crowd song, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Even though I also love Antidote, but we had to pick some songs, you know, for the set. So it's a mixture of new songs, old songs, of course. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And now, and you got it coming out right in the two versions. You got it with the CD and then the limited digipack. And I was amazed that you guys tackled two Dio tracks as part of the bonus tracks. Because, you know, obviously you do those and out come the internet trolls and, you know. But I love the way you guys did it, that you really made it your own songs. You know, you listen to it and you just think, oh, it's Crystal Ball. Then you realize, oh, wait a minute, it's that song or it's that song. And you did them real well.
Thank you. Glad to hear that. That actually was our goal. Well, our label asked us to contribute two songs to this Dio tribute album they were releasing. And that's why they ended up on the bonus tracks now as well. And we were looking for two songs where we could kind of put the Crystal Ball stamp on it. So they would, of course, still sound like the great Dio songs they are, but also put in some of our own style.
Yeah.
And we found those two would do the job somehow, you know.
The argument with covers, right, is there's people that say, oh, you should be really faithful to the cover. I just want to hear someone else do that cover. But a lot of times I really like it when people take it and put their own spin on it and give their own personality. And definitely the Crystal Ball personality comes through on both of those songs. And I think that really makes them great to me.
Thank you. Yes, that's what we try to achieve. And I'm happy to hear that you hear it the same way, actually, yes. And of course, Dio songs cannot be made better. They're just great. But we try to do it somehow different, at least.
Yeah. No, it was cool. And of course, you guys actually started off way back when as a cover band, right?
That's true. We started out in 1995, actually. At the time, we had a different name. We were called Cherry Pie, and we were a cover band. And like after 3 years, we decided to stop and do our own material. And finally, in 1999, the first record came out, As Crystal Ball.
Definitely been around for a long time. And, that's a lot of albums, too. I mean, back earlier, you guys were releasing, what, almost every once a year at that point, right?
Well, almost, yes. It's like the eighth album now came out, yeah.
Yeah, nice. Sounds like this lineup is very stable and going well. And so I would imagine that you guys are probably already thinking about album number 9 at this point.
Yeah, it's like, well, actually, I do think about it. It's not really in the making or in the works now, but of course, we've made I had some thoughts about it, when to do it, and of course, now we want to play as much as we can. We have a new management, and we really hope to be able to play a lot of festivals from probably next year, because this year is almost too late for the major festivals, right. But we really hope there will be some major stuff coming up next year. At the same time, of course, we will write songs, and I don't know exactly when the new album is going to come out. It's just too early, but we try to, keep it to make not a long period before the next album comes out, of course, maximum 2 years or so.
Yeah, right, exactly, yeah. And it was also, it was really cool for me as an old-time metal fan to see you guys out on Massacre as well. There was a big lull for a long time with Massacre, and all of a sudden now they just seem to be getting a lot of great artists back on the label, and so it was great to see a band with this kind of sound on Massacre as well.
Yeah, we were surprised ourselves a little bit, but it's great. They kind of... they're open to that sound too, and they're really great guys to work with. It's really easy going, you know. It's a small company, but therefore you have like direct access to all the people, you know. It's not a big machinery. It's just you call the guys you want to talk to and you get them on the phone, so it's really easy.
Because it was interesting, you know, I got it and I'm opening it up and I'm listening to it, and then I was like, did that really say massacre? And I was like, wow. Because, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's a little bit different than what they usually sign. But well, I was glad to see you guys with them. Because, yeah, I mean, everyone who's, you know, been recently signing with them has been very happy with them. So hopefully you guys will have equally great luck.
Yeah, thank you. I think so, yes.
And, you know, I have to mention the cover art that Thomas Everhard did. I mean, just amazing piece of cover art there as well. You just kind of want to stare at it, and I mean, I know the guy has done a ton of great covers, and he's definitely done some great thing there as well.
Yeah, we're really happy with it as well. We had this vision of a kind of a symbol, mm-hmm. you know, as a cover, and we were like brainstorming back and forth, exchanging ideas, and since the title was Life Rider, we picked actually this is a Celtic symbol for life. It's a tree of life, actually, and it's kind of stylized. It's not the original version, but some metal version of it.
Yeah. And you can tell that you know, he's an experienced cover artist, because when you get a band named Crystal Ball, somebody else would probably try to figure out how to put a crystal ball on the covers in some way, shape, or form. But this, it's like, it's none of that. It's just that nice, cool, metallic symbol. And I look at it, and I'm like, is that Photoshop velvet? Is that real? I mean, it looks so cool, and you just kind of want to stare at it for a while. The way it all intertwines and all that, it's great stuff.
Absolutely. He did an awesome job, and we're really happy with that. And it also already paid off in like, you know, T-shirt sales really gone up with that kind of motif on it. Really happy about that. Yeah,
that's
absolutely
a perfect merchandise thing there. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. I was just so impressed with how cool the cover looked. He's I mean, that guy's done some amazing covers too.
Absolutely, you know? And it's like, I think it's like the fourth cover he did with us, and nice. He did always a great job, but this one is really exciting. Yeah.
I mean, I love all the ones that he's done for Rage, and you know, that's another one of those ones. You look at those, you just keep staring at them, like, these are so cool. So, yeah.
Absolutely, yes, yeah.
So, you know, as far as you looking at all these, you know, the 12 tracks on the regular CD, I mean, to you, and I know it's always like the toughest question I ever ask anybody, but, you know, which is your baby, the song you really feel the most about?
It's as you said, it's really hard, but mm-hmm. if I had to pick one, maybe I would choose Hold Your Flag, for example. This was like the first track I wrote for that mm-hmm. album. And on maybe a second one would be Bleeding somehow, just because it's a personal thing, of course. Yeah. But I do all love all the tracks, of course. Yeah,
that's usually the thing. It's always the hardest when I ask this and people go, oh, you're killing me. You had to ask that. Oh, my God. You know, because, yeah, it's I mean, it's so new and you're so close to all of them and all that. Yeah, definitely. So, you know, going through all these and, you know, I look at the track list and I wonder, like, why you guys didn't call the album like Mayday or Gods of Rock, or so how did you end up using Life Rider as the title track?
Well, actually, it's a really good question, because we started out with the album title. We decided the album title way before the song was written, and actually way before we even started to write the whole album. We had the idea of that concept, you know, to fit all the songs under one roof, and we just stuck to that title. Actually, it's funny, our producer also said, you should call it Life, you should call it a Mayday, mm. the album. And then we already had that cover concept, and somehow we were like, you know, thinking back and forth, and what should we do? And I don't know. And we said, okay, let's stick to the original idea, and it doesn't really matter how the album is called, sales wise. also like the title Gods of Rock, even though some people say, no, it's cliche. And mm-hmm. well, it's just the song evolved out of a feeling, actually, when I was like 15, you know. I was looking up to all those bands and they gave me a lot of power.
Yeah.
And that's how it's simple. It's nothing intellectual about it, but yeah. The plain truth.
Yeah. No, I like that. I like the title. Partly I like the title because it goes back and all my daughters play, but one of my daughters is plays drums and plays bass and a friend of hers that
wow,
like her
awesome.
Best friend all through, you know, middle school, high school. She used to always come over here and jam, and she used to use my equipment and stuff. And she used to always come up and look at me and just be like, "Rock God, Rock God." She's like all the time, just because she loved using, you know, all my stuff. She'd come over and, yeah, you can use my Marshall. Yeah, you can use my Les Paul. She'd be like, and you know, and it's pretty cool for me now because now she's actually the lead singer and guitar player in the band Paris. So she's actually wow. gone on a recording career as well. But so when I saw that Gods of Rock, it just kind of brought back that whole memory of having and Lynn over here and jamming, and just she'd come up and just be like, "Rock God." So it's cool.
Wow, great.
Yeah. And for
you
me,
must be proud.
Yeah, I am. I'm psyched whenever I see like some that they do stuff. And it was cool, you know, they came through here a couple months ago, and I thought it was pretty cool that she was playing in the same arena where the high school where she graduated high school from. So that must have been a pretty cool thing for her. And yeah, it's a fun thing, and I'm glad I'm able to kind of pass the music on, you know, and I like it, you know, when something like that, when a song written by somebody else can speak to you like that, it makes it something special.
Yeah, that's great. I've experienced that myself, of course, oftentimes. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Of course, I'll ask the crazy pie in the sky question, but because I know, you know, economics of it and all that is craziness, but you think you might have any chance in the near future of touring the States, even with maybe a package of a couple of artists?
I, of course, really do hope so, but I think it's maybe next 12 months, it's quite unlikely, but you never know. I think a good start would be maybe some festivals to just, you know, kind of get into it and maybe reach a big crowd as a start or as a test. Sometimes it happens really quick, so I cannot say, you know, it's not going to happen. I really do hope it's going to happen. Just at the moment, it doesn't not. It's like not our first priority. Of course, we want to, you know, kind of break in Europe. But then again, if there's an offer, you know, I would be on the plane anytime.
I think that you guys would go over pretty well over at Prague Power. You know, I think there's a lot of people that go there and that when they attend that particular festival, they kind of have that European festival goer mentality where they will listen to anything and enjoy it, as opposed to a lot of the festivals around here where they're very narrow in their musical focus, and the people that are going there are also very narrow in their focus. But I think you guys would go over very well there, and maybe that would catch on here because I'm seeing it's kind of ramping up more now, but this slow conversion over now of people that are realizing that they've missed like the melody and the upbeat stuff in music and that kind of that mid-range in music. And you guys have all of that. And I think that for a lot of people, this kind of music, they'll hook back into and be, wow, that's what I've been missing, you know?
Yeah, well, I hope so. I think there's an audience for that kind of music still. I mean, all the bands that are still touring from the 80s, somehow prove that there's a market for this music, and I hope so. Thanks for the tips anyway. So we try to pass that on to our management, and who knows, you know, it might work out.
Yeah, I mean, because I definitely see that, you know, Sinner has been slowly getting the ball rolling here with, you know, some fan base as well, and you guys kind of have that same similar feel that Sinner does. And
yeah, it's, you know, true. Actually, I know the guys, and that's cool. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, of course, Matt's in 8 million bands, but, you know.
That's true.
good for him, yeah. So, you know, obviously, we mentioned your website, but you guys are also on Facebook and Twitter as well, right?
That's true, yes. All the social media channels there are.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. And that's unusual because a lot of the European artists that I talk to, they're not on Twitter yet. It's just like it hadn't been that big in Europe. And I'm like, you have to get on there because it's definitely getting bigger. And I think you actually reach fans quicker on Twitter. So I was psyched to see that you guys were actually on Twitter.
Yeah, I thought so too. And I realized that even though in Europe, as you said, not many bands are on Twitter, but I at least have the account and try to build it and, yeah, you know, do something every day. And it's connected to Facebook, of course, connected to YouTube and all the other, even Google Plus and.
Yep. Oh yeah, I know. Yeah. I hear you. That's why it got to be so much for me that I actually had one of my co-hosts at least take Facebook away from me. It was like, thank you, Richard. You can do that part. I'll handle the website and Twitter, so it works out better. Cool.
Yes, it's work, but it's fun also.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. Yeah. Awesome. So really happy that, you know, this new album is out. I'm really enjoying it. You know, hopefully it's, you know, we'll get all over the place and people are going to be enthusiastic about it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Well, it's been, you know, a blast talking to you. I'm happy you were able to take, you know, half an hour, 20 minutes out of your day to talk to Focus on Metal, and we can get the word out about Crystal Ball, and we'd love to have you back on the show anytime.
I'm glad to hear that, and I'll be gladly back anytime.
Great.
Thanks a lot for the opportunity, and yeah, stay awesome. Metal, rock on.
All right, well, have a great rest of the weekend, and I appreciate the talk.
Thank you very much, Scott.
All right. Bye.
Take care. Bye.
That is a wrap for my talk with Scott Leach from Crystal Ball. Played you quite a few samples from the Life Writer album. Of course, kicked it off. First one we played was Gods of Rock. We followed that up with their Dio cover of Sacred Heart. And then the last one we played was Mayday, which I don't know. I just thought that was the title for the album, but what do I know, right? Anyways, if you want to find out more about those guys, you can head over to crystal-ball-ch as well as facebook.com/crystalballrocks. And on Twitter, you can follow them, Crystal Ball Rock. So I got one more thing for you this week. It's more just a request. Maybe try to help out an artist that I've thrown a lot of support behind. That is, of course, the one and only Veronica Freeman. As you guys know, she put out her solo album called Now or Never. We had her on. Had a great time talking to her, as we always do whenever we get to talk to the V. And unbelievably, slowly starting to get some regular terrestrial radio show of support for the V, and a few people are starting to play the track again. Of course, that is one of the tracks that she did with Michael Sweet for the album. And if you go back and listen to the episode where we talk about the whole making of the album with the V, she talks all about the trials and tribulations of making that song. So a lot of work from the V put into that, a lot of heart and soul and tears and all that good stuff. So it's really nice to see that song is finally getting some traction. And also, the V has cut a video for again. You can go up to either vimeo.com or up to YouTube and search for the V again, and a great, great video that she made for that one. There's even a cameo in there with an upcoming Focus on Metal guest. That is Mike LaPond from Symphony X. And by the way, speaking of Symphony X, if you haven't picked up Underworld yet, the latest release from those guys, you gotta get that one. It is probably one of the best releases that band has ever put out. And we'll have Mike on the show talking about that. I'm thinking maybe even as early as next week. But anyways, back to the V and all the good stuff happened. And so, you know, like I said, again, getting a little bit of traction, but I want you guys to lend some more support. Maybe call if you, you know, have a local station, give them a call, ask them about playing the V, playing the song again. And to get you in the mood, that supportive mood, I thought, why don't I spin the track again just as a round out to the show?
Me, I follow every move.
little bit of V there again off of the V solo album called Now or Never. Great album. And again, show your support for the V. Call those stations. Request that song. Let's get some traction behind this puppy. The V needs our support. And again, check out the video. Great video. Classic sense of humor from the V. And I have to compliment her on actually throwing in the old linoleum knife as a weapon in that one. That's a classic long-running joke with a bunch of friends of mine about the old linoleum knife as a weapon. So it was great to see that in the video. So that's it. There ain't no more this week. I'm thinking right now, tentatively, that we will be running an interview with Mike LaPond of Symphony X. That's what we're looking like doing next week. We'll see. But as of right now, that is the plan. We will see what else we toss into the pot for next week. You never know. Hey, that's a whole nother week away. In the meantime, as usual, you can keep up with us at focusonmetal.net, focusonmetal.blogspot.com, on Facebook, on Twitter, you know, all the normal suspects. So it feels good to be back in the saddle here doing shows again. It felt really weird not doing stuff for 2 weeks. I mean, yeah, we did interviews, but actually not doing any kind of audio editing or mixing or mastering. But as promised, we are back, and we'll be rolling forward from here. We got a lot of great stuff in the can waiting to roll out to you guys. And of course, got a lot more episodes to cover for the Little Mountain Sound Project as well. So good stuff going on. And hey, maybe we'll even have Richie back in the studio again next week. We'll see. He's been on a busy schedule as well, but cross your fingers, we'll make that happen. So like I said, that's it. Stick a fork in it. This puppy is done. So for myself, for Richie, for everybody else here at Focus on Metal, as usual, have yourselves a great, great metal week. And until we talk to you again next week, remember,
focus on metal.
Everything else is insignificant.
Still here? It's over. Go home.